Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, I'm Christopher Jones Cruz. At the Voice of America's Learning English branch in Washington. Welcome to As It Is, a free, daily, 30-minute program that helps you learn everyday American English. It's Monday, December 21st, 2015. It was on this day in 1988 that a bomb exploded on Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. 270 people were killed. Today on the program, we'll tell you the meaning of some American political idioms. If you've been watching any of the presidential debates, you may have heard some expressions that cause you to ask, "What did he just say?" Today, we'll tell you. Then, as we always do on Mondays, we will bring you the technology report. This week, we'll tell you about ransomware. That is a term used for a type of software that locks up access to a computer until money is paid. And finally, as we do every weekday, we will present The Making of a Nation. Today, we will tell you about the presidency of Ulysses S. Grant. He served 2 terms in office, but his administration was marked by corruption. So you can see, we have a lot for you today. Every day here on As It Is, we bring you news from and about America and the world. And we tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. We are a little different here at VOA Learning English. Because we exist to help you learn everyday American English, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. Republican presidential candidates debated in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the final time this year. During debates, and when they speak to reporters, supporters, aides, and others, candidates often use interesting words, phrases, and expressions. In most cases, only speakers of American English can understand what these idioms mean. Idioms are expressions that have a different meaning from the meaning of the individual words that make up the idiom. American political idioms can be confusing to speakers of other languages. They can even be confusing to Americans who are not familiar with the ways political candidates speak. Today, we present more of these idiomatic expressions and their meanings. You may find it useful to keep this list to refer to as you read reports about the presidential campaign. Many of the definitions in this report came from learnersdictionary.com. What does he bring to the table? What qualities does she have that will benefit the situation or us? How can he help us? A reporter may want to know about a candidate's experience or education and may ask, "What do you bring to the table?" A coach tells a reporter that he believes his current team could be the best he has ever had. He says of the players, "What they bring to the table that makes us such a good team is that they have no ego. What they bring to the table that makes us such a high-scoring team is take options off the table. To remove issues from a negotiation that were at one time being considered. For example, a broadcaster reported that Congress was taking some Social Security payment options off the table. He's only got one shot. Having only one chance to achieve a goal. A local official, considering a plan to improve roads, might say, "This is a big project, and we've only got one shot to get it right." Go the distance. To carry through a course of action to completion. To continue to do something until it is successfully completed. To do the whole amount. To play the entire game. To run the race until the end. Political reporters often ask if a candidate has enough money, energy, and support to finish a campaign. Can she go the distance, or will she run out of money halfway through? In the mix, included as part of a group, being considered. A newspaper headline wondered if a local team was in the mix for a championship. Gain traction. The support or interest that is needed for something to succeed or make progress. When a bill fails to gain traction in the Senate, it does not pass. Political expediency, often negative. Providing an easy and quick way to solve a problem or do something. A candidate might ask his opponent to do the right thing, not the politically expedient thing. Stack the deck. To arrange things against someone or something. To arrange things secretly for a desired outcome. To arrange something in a way that is not fair in order to achieve what you want. To arrange something so that it is unfair to someone. Some candidates complain that the way a debate is designed hurts them. They may complain that the debate organizers have stacked the deck against them. Stand your ground. To not change your position when you are being attacked. To not retreat. For example, the candidate has continued to stand her ground despite criticism of her plan. Unilateral action, involving only one group or country. If no other country joins us, we will act unilaterally to defend our interests. Have you been hearing or reading idioms and expressions in stories about the American presidential campaign that you don't understand? Let us know. We'll explain them in future reports. Now, it's time for our weekly look at the latest technology news. An old internet scam is getting some new attention. It is called ransomware. Ransomware is a term used for a specific type of software that locks up files or access to a computer until money is paid. Earlier this year, the FBI issued a warning about an increase in the spread of ransomware in the United States. Jonathan Evans has more.
Two of the most widespread ransomware are CryptoLocker and CryptoWall. The two computer bugs are thought to have taken millions of dollars from people. The internet security company WebSense says it has found about 2 million cases of CryptoLocker. More than 60% of the cases were in Australia. Symantec is another internet security company. It says a newer ransomware is quickly spreading around the world. The bug fools people with information on the popular television series Breaking Bad. The bug secretly searches out certain types of files in computers and encrypts them. Computer users will not be able to open those encrypted files without the decryption key. And only the person or persons responsible for the bug have the key. Users then receive messages that their files are now unavailable. They are told their files will remain unavailable unless the user pays a fee in exchange for the decryption key to unlock their documents. John Shire is a security expert at the cybersecurity company Sophos. He says ransomware looks for user-generated content, Word documents, spreadsheets, pictures. These could be pictures of your child's first birthday, videos of your honeymoon, financial spreadsheets of your small business, files that you really care about. The price to have those files returned is usually between $300 and $600. Once the payment is made, the user is given the decryption key. Ransomware bugs have a relatively simple design, but they often have a complex encryption standard. That makes them almost impossible to break without the decryption key. Ransomware targets all types of computer systems, personal, business, and government. But Mr. Shire says the most success the bad guys are seeing is from personal computer systems. Little can be done once a device has been infected. But there are ways to protect against ransomware or limit the damage done once infected. John Shire says the best way is to make many copies of all of your files and save them in different locations. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Thanks, Jonathan. Now we continue our popular series, The Making of a Nation. President Ulysses S. Grant served two terms in office. His administration was marked by corruption. The president himself was not linked directly to any of the incidents. But he was friends with dishonest members of the cabinet and Congress. Today in our series, Jack Weitzel and Tony Riggs tell us how Grant's problems affected the Republican Party in the presidential election of 1876.
The American people were very disappointed with President Grant. He was the military hero of the Civil War. He had led the Union Army of the North to victory over the Confederate Army of the South. His popularity dropped, however, during his presidency. Grant was not an effective political leader, nor was he able to control the men around him. The American people also were worried about the nation's economic situation. A serious depression had begun during Grant's second term. Many people were out of work. They blamed the ruling Republican Party.
The state and congressional elections of 1874 were an important turning point. Republicans were shocked by the results. For the first time in 18 years, the Democratic Party won control of the House of Representatives. They won 169 seats. The Republicans won 109. Democrats also won control of 23 of the 35 state governments. These included several northern states where people were tired of Republican rule.
Important changes also were made in the South. Democrats won control of southern state governments from radical Republicans. One of these states was Mississippi. White Democrats there began organizing groups called White Leagues. These groups wanted to prevent blacks from voting for radical Republicans. They started riots in which many blacks were killed. They also used economic power against blacks. These efforts succeeded. Most blacks were too afraid to vote. The Democrats took control of both the Mississippi legislature and the governor's office. Similar actions with similar results took place in other southern states.
As Grant's second term came to an end, he began to talk about the possibility of another 4 years in the White House. Republican politicians were firmly opposed. They blamed Grant for the party's defeats in state and congressional elections. Grant had to give up any hope of a third term. Congressman James Blaine seemed to have the best chance of winning the Republican presidential nomination in 1876. Blaine had been Speaker of the House of Representatives when the Republicans controlled Congress. He was powerful, and he had many supporters. Some Republican leaders, however, questioned his honesty. Blaine fought this criticism with an emotional speech in Congress.
When the Republican Party convention opened in Cincinnati, Ohio, Blaine was the leading candidate for the presidential nomination. He expected to win the first day. There was a wild demonstration of support when his name was put before the convention. But before the voting could begin, the lights went out. Some delegates believed Blaine's opponents were responsible. These opponents worked all night to get other delegates to change their support from Blaine to another candidate. When the delegates voted the next morning, Blaine did not have enough votes to win the nomination.
However, after six ballots, Blaine appeared ready to win. To stop him, his opponents needed to unite behind another candidate. One of these candidates was Rutherford Hayes, the governor of Ohio. Hayes had fewer enemies than the other candidates. So he became the compromise candidate for delegates hoping to stop Blaine. On the seventh ballot of the convention, Rutherford Hayes captured the Republican nomination.
the Democratic Party met in St. Louis, Missouri. Delegates nominated Samuel Tilden, the governor of New York. Tilden had led the fight to end dishonesty in government in New York State. He had ousted a group called the Tweed Ring, which controlled New York City politics for years. Democrats said he was the man to end dishonesty in government in Washington. Republicans campaigned by denouncing the Democratic Party. They called it the party of Southern rebellion and treason. Instead, they said, vote for the Republican Party, the party that had saved the Union. Democrats campaigned by attacking Republican dishonesty. They blamed Republicans for the nation's economic problems, and they promised better times for everyone if their candidate was elected.
The presidential election of 1876 was very close. By midnight of election day, the results seemed to show that Democrat Samuel Tilden was the winner. Republican Rutherford Hayes went to bed believing he had lost. However, the Republicans quickly saw that the electoral votes of three southern states could decide the winner. In the American presidential system, whoever wins the most popular votes in a state usually gets all the electoral votes of that state. In 1876, the electoral votes of three states, Florida, Louisiana, and South Carolina, were enough to give the White House to one candidate or the other.
Each party claimed victory in these three states. Each accused the other of stealing votes and counting ballots unfairly. Finally, the two parties agreed to form an electoral committee to decide who had won the disputed votes. The committee was supposed to include seven Republicans, seven Democrats, and one independent. But before it could meet, the independent member resigned. A Republican took his place. The Republicans had a majority.
The committee first debated the disputed votes of Florida. After much discussion, the eight Republicans on the committee voted to accept the votes of Florida's Republican electors. They rejected a proposal to investigate the way the votes were counted in the state. They said there was not enough time for a full investigation. The same thing happened with the disputed votes of Louisiana and South Carolina. The Republicans on the committee voted to count the Republican electors. The Democrats voted to count the Democratic electors. In each case, the Republicans won by a vote of 8-7.
As a result, Rutherford Hayes gained the electoral votes of all three states. This gave him enough to win the election. Democrats were furious. Democrats in many states began organizing party militia groups. They said they would fight, if necessary, to prevent the Republicans from stealing the presidency. The situation seemed very tense and dangerous. Many feared the start of another civil war. Negotiations finally provided a peaceful solution.
Representatives of the two parties met secretly to work out a compromise. The Democrats agreed to permit Republican Rutherford Hayes to be sworn in as president. In return, Hayes agreed to end federal support of radical Republican governments in the South. He promised to name Southerners to his cabinet and other important jobs. And he said he would provide more federal aid for schools and railroads in the South. As part of the agreement, Hayes promised not to act aggressively to support the civil rights of black Southerners.
Hayes' opponent was Democrat Samuel Tilden. He did not oppose the agreement. Tilden was an old man. His health was poor. He agreed that 4 years of Rutherford Hayes would be better than 4 years of civil war. And so it was that Rutherford Hayes became the 19th president of the United States. He would surprise a lot of people after he reached the White House. That will be our story tomorrow here on As It Is. This Making of a Nation program was written by Frank Beardsley and narrated by Jack Weitzel and Tony Riggs. That's our program for today, Monday, December 21st, 2015, the beginning of Christmas week. We hope our program has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. We truly do want to hear what interests you. Tell us what you want to hear about. You may hear stories about your interests on a future show. You can send us a letter or a postcard. Our postal address is VOA Learning English, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You can also email us. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. That's learningenglish@voanews.com. And please know that we do read every single message you send us. You can also send us a message through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. Once again, that's learningenglish.voanews.com. And while you are on our website, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find podcasts, captioned videos, and lessons to test your English skills. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel, all at VOA Learning English. And be sure to listen to VOA World News at the beginning of every hour, Universal Time, every day of the year. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from the VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time to help you learn everyday American English with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.